This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. As we're already in the new year, it's normally time for taking stock and thinking about what the future will bring. Dimension Data's technology experts have shared their thoughts on the forces that will reshape digital businesses in 2018. And with me today on the phone is...
Yeah, hi. I'm Andy Cox. I'm Chief Technology Officer for Dimension Data Asia Pacific. We're a global IT and systems integration company with offices around the world. In Asia Pacific, we got 13 countries in operation. Malaysia is one of our key countries. My responsibility is to look at the trends in IT as we see them coming down the track. And I also run all of our pre-sales and do a lot of work with our sort of vendor partners. So I've got a good landscape in terms of what our global teams are seeing, but also in Asia Pacific, the vendor and also the user community landscape.
And Andy, we're going to find out what 2018 holds in store in the areas of digital business, digital infrastructure, hybrid cloud, digital workplaces, customer experience, and cybersecurity. There's a whole bunch of things here that the digital space covers. Andy, let's perhaps begin with, you know, how much has businesses changed so far when it comes to IT advancements?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, digital is on everybody's lips right now. My view is this is just sort of the latest wave in technology in terms of maintaining competitiveness. I mean, you know, client server was very disruptive to the mainframe world and you had to be there to be competitive. Then we saw sort of SAP, you know, everybody had to have some sort of instance of database to manage the business. And then we saw the whole sort of web e-commerce. So you had to have your products and services out there to maintain competitiveness. And my view now that digital is sort of an enhancement or availability of all these new technologies now at a cheaper price point than we've ever seen before with the advent of cloud, with the advent of mobile. The opportunity and the threat now is for organizations to be disruptive or at least maintain, the status quo with their competition. So a lot going on, and I think most organizations are really trying to sort of look at and take in where the disruption is coming from the sort of born in the cloud sort of companies, and where it could come from, you know, from the more mature companies who have got the relationships, who are trusted. So, you know, two sort of, I guess, competing forces here.
Mm. So what are some of the big disruptions or trends that you are expecting to see in 2018?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, you talk about sort of digital, I think on that angle, I think, you know, blockchain is on everybody's lips, and I don't want to talk about Bitcoin, but I think the underlying blockchain technologies as a sort of, you know, irrefutable system of record offer all sorts of opportunities for organizations. So I think, you know, government agencies can, for example, have things like land titles, you can have car registration, financial services. You know, we've seen sort of, you know, cyber currencies, but also things like mortgages and loans. And these are sort of public systems of record that people can refer to. And I think in the, you know, in the personal space, in terms of, you know, how we all do business, it's things like, you know, music downloads or legal records. So that, you know, potentially is going to be quite disruptive. I think the other sort of broad area, and it all sort of melds together, is sort of robotics, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. Those technologies and the availability of numerous platforms, the ability to onboard those sort of technologies is pretty simple and cost effective. You know, in the past, it was only the domain of the largest companies with very deep pockets now, but, you know, the move to this sort of cloud-based consumption models mean that these technologies are available to, you know, the smallest sort of entrepreneurial startup to, you know, as I say, the largest sort of multinational company. I think, you know, the other one is sort of around, you know, wireless is ubiquitous. And I think, you know, everybody must have wireless and must have battery life. It's sort of a given in life right now. But we're going to see more and more wireless technologies move from the, sort of the carrier and we're used to our 3G, 4G network. That's potentially going to push into the enterprise and the office, and it's going to challenge the LAN and WAN technologies and the service providers that we've bought our networking technologies from in the past.
Hmm. You mentioned blockchain, and it's interesting to see how, you know, it came out from, you know, from a dark web, from the crypto world, but the technology itself is applicable in almost any industry here.
Correct. I mean, as I said earlier, I mean, I think the fact that as you say, the people on the dark side are actually using this. It actually shows how secure these technologies are. you know, and I guess up until now, no one knows that any of these systems have been hacked. But you know, but the I guess the underlying technology is you've got multiple instances of the same records that are instantaneously updated. So up until now, no one has been able to hack all of those instances at the same time, and these databases are moving dynamically. So pretty hard to attack. But as I said, you know, things like, you know, in the financial sector, things like equities and mortgages, you know, car registration, your insurance records of a car, or your even your maintenance records of a car. If you wanted to check how many times it's been serviced by an authorized maintenance organization, you can see that. Things like contracts, wills, potentially medical records, accounts of a company that you want to make public, these are all out there. So as I said before, you know, we're all obsessed right now with I guess the opportunity in Bitcoin and cyber currencies, but these technologies are available now and not too difficult to dial up an instance and go out there and, you know, make a difference.
And we do see a lot of companies coming out putting blockchains at the front of their business pitches to make it a lot more interesting. You know, not many of them probably would fully understand what blockchain is, but for those companies that are really building platforms that are blockchain enabled or, you know, blockchain ready in that sense, there seems to be also a lot of the sentiment of, you know, it being difficult and going through the ICO process. And, you know, there are many countries with different rules of, you know, whether they can or can't do an ICO sale. How's that going to happen in play out in 2018?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, because I think there are governments, you know, regulators, certainly in financial services, you know, foremost are looking at, I guess the underlying principle of sort of blockchain technologies is it cuts out the middleman. So that could be a government, it could be the large financial organization who've always clipped the ticket and made their money. So now the seller and the purchaser can transact with one another, whether that's viewing a record or moving some sort of asset or value. That can be done, I guess, without anyone knowing. So people talk about regulation, and I guess the only regulation is going to be at the edge when you try and monetize, you know, you try and, you know, convert whatever that that Bitcoin into real something else. How do you regulate at the edges? And I think there's some countries are trying to put some policies together. I think if you just look at the Singapore government, as late as November, have basically said they don't believe it is could be fully regulated. So they, what they're asking for is the incumbent financial organisations to work collaboratively together and share best practices and work together. So I guess at this point, certainly in Southeast Asia, that seems to be, you know, the best that can be done.
Let's move on to something in the cybersecurity space. 2017 saw a lot of attacks, especially in ransomware. WannaCry became, you know, a huge popular thing. I think it made up in front pages in Malaysian newspapers as well. What's 2018 looking like in the cybersecurity space?
I think it's more of the same. You know, we deal with a lot of the, leading vendors. We also work with the analysts. I guess the challenge with this sort of security landscape is incredibly fragmented. There aren't sort of, you know, few dominant players that are in that industry. And there are, I think, just in like the second half of last year, there were like 100 new startups in Silicon Valley moving into this space. So everybody's sort of trying to get in there. And it's a difficult landscape to sort of get your head around. It's going to continue. I think the growth in the market is something in the range of sort of 15 to 20% compound. So with IT overall growing at sort of 5 to 6% for most parts of the region, obviously it's breakout. But I think, you know, the key thing is that in the past we've secured the network, the perimeter of our own internal IT, but with the move to mobile first, with the move to cloud first now, how do we manage our cloud-based applications and resources, and then how do we secure those endpoints? So it could be a laptop, it could be a PC, you know, and increasingly everybody's got sort of some sort of smart device that they're operating. So it's securing the perimeter, it's securing to the cloud, and it's securing to the mobile device. And then the complexity comes now. We're now using those mobile devices to go across the carrier network, maybe through to our data center, and then further into the cloud environment. So it throws up some challenges for organizations. And I think a lot of people are still challenged with that. One area that we are seeing is there's a big move to people looking at managed security services. There's a huge shortfall of resources in IT, and if you're out there right now, you can pretty much command your own price. But a lot of organizations are saying, look, certainly smaller organizations, I can't provide 24/7. You think, you know, you need 3 8-hour shifts of people. I need to basically keep all my systems patched. So there is a big move to sort of outsource managed security services. So there's a, you know, the larger sort of systems integrators, people such as ourselves, the telcos are moving into that. And there are a lot of sort of local startups that are moving into that. So the complexity is really challenging people now. And as I said, probably one of the biggest shifts is to move to outsource your managed security, which in the past people didn't do.
It's another reason why we, you know, perhaps should look into blockchain again. Like that would probably help, you know, some of the problems that we face in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah, I think certainly as we haven't talked about it yet, but IoT is being, I think, you know, seriously looked at by a lot of organizations. Mm-hmm. So you've now got even more security landscape threat where, you know, anything from a temperature sensor or a garbage can sensor or a video camera, in the high street, all of those potentially are threats. So trying to secure at the center because of the latency issues and the networking issues, are an issue because these sensors are pretty, you know, let's say low latency, low bandwidth. So having to sort of secure at the edge and having blockchain-based technologies where they can actually, I guess there's something called, you know, sort of fog computing or edge computing. It's no longer with the big hyperscale providers, but you've got to push out increasingly. We are going to see more and more compute and more processing pushed back out to the edge.
I'm speaking to Andy Cox. He's the Chief Technology Officer for Dimension Data Asia Pacific. And when we come back, we'll dive deeper into the whole IoT space. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and on the phone with me is Andy Cox. He's the Chief Technology Officer for Dimension Data Asia Pacific. And we're talking about what to expect in 2018 in the digital disruption scene. There's so many areas that we've covered earlier on, blockchain, cybersecurity. And Andy, you brought up IoT. So let's dive deeper into the IoT space then. What are you seeing that's moving the IoT space ahead, with, especially with Singapore being sort of like the forefront leaders in Southeast Asia, at least in driving IoT?
Well, I think, governments, you know, such as Singapore, have always, you know, leveraged technology to be a sort of key disruptor and maintain their competitiveness. So a lot of pilots, and I think, you know, very much IoT as we see it today. A lot of the, you know, the projects we're talking to clients about, they have a 12 to 18 month window to sort of roll this out. So, you know, they want to test the water with a limited sort of, you know, proof of concept, you know, whether it be your, you know, autonomous cars, or, you know, for example, insurance companies. There's a company based in Malaysia, insurance company now, that actually tracks the driver and how fast they're moving and whether they're doing dangerous driving. And as a result of that, actually reduces their annual premium. So very much still in test. I think we're past that sort of hype curve where everybody's talking about it, and people now are looking at sort of, you know, real use cases. But I still think very, very early days for this.
Talking about early days, artificial intelligence. We've heard this since the 80s. You know, every year, AI is part of a trend here. So what's happening in 2018 in the space of artificial intelligence?
Yes, I said before that the processing, technologies that are available are increasing. So, you know, we're all starting to see, things like Siri or Cortana, those sort of technologies in some of the sort of the web tools that we use. But certainly that's starting to fall out. You know, for example, in the contact center customer experience area. So a lot of these bot technologies really starting to become quite advanced in terms of, you know, learning systems. So things like, you know, speech recognition, natural language. So when the systems talk back to you, they use, you know, it could be the way that, you know, English is spoken in Malaysia or the Singlish. You know, it picks up on that and it's learning. Image analysis, virtual agents. So, you know, potentially now you can, for example, when you deal with a bank today, you know, you go in and you press one for English or two for Bahasa or three for, you know, Mandarin. These systems now instantly know the, typically the type of transactions that you want. So it could be, you know, to extend a loan or ask for, you know, second SIM card on your phone. And these systems are out there and available. So they're starting to become real. I mean, some of these systems now in the contact center, if you're talking to an agent, for example, and you raise your voice because it's the third time you've tried to get your new credit card sent to you, that can instantly kick off can trigger something. So the, you know, the customer service manager now can jump in on the call and, you know, try and jump in and address what's going on. So it's a very broad area. So as I said, speech recognition and natural language, image analysis, virtual agents, decision management, machine learning, deep learning. Mm. It's, again, very, very broad area. So I don't think you can just sort of, you know, throw the cast the net of AI at this. I think one of the biggest challenges that that people have beyond that is if you're going to start making intelligent decisions, the platforms are there that can do it, but you need your data and you need every source of data available. So people have pockets of data here, there, you know, traditional databases that they run their businesses from. They've got other systems of record. So the key thing is to create what we call a data lake, bring all that together. Once you've actually got that, tagged that, then you can actually start to apply the AI tools on top of it. But underpinning that is, and where we sort of play a big role, is making sure that your infrastructure is digital ready, so that, you know, is your network ready, is your data center compute and storage ready, and then, you know, we talked earlier, but from a security standpoint, can you secure that? Once you've got your data together, once you've got it secure, then you can start to apply these sort of technologies.
Mm. Something that rose rapidly in 2017 is the, you know, virtual reality and augmented reality, VR/AR, and is there any leading examples that you perhaps, you know, could share about, you know, VR/AR space that we're seeing?
Yeah, again, I think it's still very much early days, you know, but the systems are starting to mature to a point where they can become real. There's a large airline. I won't name them, but their aim is to become the world's most digital airline. It's quite interesting to see how they've structured themselves now. They no longer have an IT department, but they have a chief digital officer. Mm. And everything they're doing now is focused around customer acquisition, customer satisfaction, airside operations in terms of using digital technologies to improve that, the way they operate the airline. And then last but not least, there's big data and security sort of underpinning that. So the infrastructure absolutely is abstracted from that, and all they're talking about the business process and the outcome. Talking to VR, what they've actually done here now, and I know the goggles are sort of still quite clunky, but we've actually done some testing of the technology now where the crew on a plane can walk down the aisles and it will instantly recognize, you know, let's say a frequent flyer. It'll Mr. Tan or Miss Lee, you're on the plane again today, and we know you're a key client to the airline. We know their preference maybe when they walk into the airline lounge in terms of the sort of coffee they want, and it actually does facial recognition. It obviously has, you know, their personal needs, but it can also look at facial expressions and tell whether they're sleepy, leave them alone, or whether they're angry and frustrated. So right now the goggles are quite heavy, but, you know, very quickly I think that technology is going to morph into sort of almost like, you know, glasses kind of technology. So still very much in the sort of in beta trial, but it's quite interesting to see how some of these organizations want to, you know, drastically change the way that they service and support their clients and customers.
There's so many trends that will be happening this year around. How can enterprises, you know, take part in this and be part of this growth here? Because Southeast Asia is definitely a region where we will see all these trends take place as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, there's two areas. I think firstly, there's the sort of born in the cloud companies that are, you know, typically, I mean, you know, everybody talks about Airbnb and Uber and how they've sort of disrupted. But as I said earlier, now, a lot of the traditional companies do have, you know, invested a long-term relationship with a number of clients that some of these sort of startup companies don't have. I think there's, you know, there's an interesting philosophy. So, you know, how do you prioritize what you do and where do you go here? But, you know, I think increasingly a lot of companies that are at the leading edge, you know, traditional enterprises are saying now that we're we're basically a digital IT company that happens to specialize in manufacturing, happens to specialize in retail. So I think, you know, the tables are turning. In the past, IT was sort of a back office function for maybe looking at your, you know, your pipeline of your opportunities or doing your financial reporting, sort of quite inwardly looking now. But again, you know, the advent of cloud, you know, social media, you know, mobility now means that you've really got to sort of change the way that you bring new products and services together. So everything that you now look at moving forward, I mean, we challenge organizations to saying, could you deliver your product? Could you deliver your service now? Maybe not by traditional bricks and mortar, not by, you know, a truck roll, but could you actually do that using these technologies, you know, web or cloud-based or mobile-based you know, technologies?
And going back to the, you know, so to the current existing enterprises, you know, what kind of questions should they be asking themselves in order to, you know, not just be, you know, not stagnate throughout the whole year and to actually drive innovation?
Yeah, so I think, well, first and foremost is to look at the, you know, the competition, not only domestically, but, you know, try and look at their industry as a whole. And, you know, it's very easy now for an organization to maybe look at a, you know, let's say someone in, you know, Australia, New Zealand, or a company in the US that's sort of being disruptive. And it's not too difficult to sort of copy that very quickly and bring that to market. You know, but saying that, I mean, what we see as the real challenge for organizations, as I said before, is your infrastructure digital ready? Is it agile? You know, network, security, data center, you know, are all those technologies ready? Is your security ready? Because unless you've got that in place and unless you've got the automation, and this is a key part of it. So in your digital ready infrastructure, is your automation and is your agility there? That's a key part. If you're still stuck in the legacy world, if you want to provision a new server, you're going to have to wait 6 weeks for it to be delivered by the vendor. That doesn't cut it anymore. You need to be able to dial up a new server or a new platform as a service within sort of minutes or a couple of hours, as opposed to weeks or months. So having that automation in place, absolutely key. So in this sort of hybrid cloud or hybrid IT world, you've got your traditional management systems, you know, problem change, configuration, performance management in your data center and across your network. But how do you now move that into people like, you know, Amazon Web Services or Azure services, and maybe even third party, you know, platform as a service or software as a service platforms that you're using?
And on to my final question, what's Dimension Data's role here in the digital disruption?
So our ploy is, you know, I've sort of stressed this a number of times, is, you know, our business is really anchored around, you know, its network, security, data center, and collaboration technology. So these are all enabling technologies. So I think, you know, I've covered the sort of the, you know, the network, data center, and security. In the collaboration space, it's another area where we're helping people. So traditionally, collaboration has been email, it's instant messaging. But, you know, there are a lot of newer technologies that it's not only internally facing now, but how can you have your suppliers, how can you interface with your customers seamlessly, all as one, and have sort of a single view of the customer journey from, I guess, the design and the supply of that product or service through inception to launch, and then through the sort of day two support. So that's one angle, traditional infrastructure. You know, I've talked to this a number of times. You know, our big focus now is around, you know, the managed services, having to manage IT, moving it from your internal data center, internally facing, to this now, as I said, you know, web-based, mobile-based organization using hyperscale providers and third-party isn't easy. So we're very much in the business of managing people's networks, their security, and helping with their collaboration technologies.
2018 is an exciting year ahead then.
Certainly is. And I think, you know, the challenge is to, I guess there's too many people chasing too many ideas. And we are, I mean, to a degree, we're limited. The only thing that's limiting us is sort of innovation. So I think one of the big things that organizations sort of need to look at is, you know, IT needs to feel comfortable about moving and educating the field and all of that, you know, from everything from, as I said, from, you know, R&D, engineering, production, customer service, you know, providing those organizations with the platforms, some of these AI, VR sort of technologies we talked about, so they can actually start to play with those and, you know, get some ideas and really lead the innovation, because I think just keeping it within the domain of IT is going to be a big limiter.
And that was Andy Cox, the Chief Technology Officer for Dimension Data Asia Pacific. And we've been talking about some of the digital disruptions that will happen in 2018. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.